Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Good morning on the 7th of March, 2017. The Lord's not making another one. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Some of you tuned in today expecting Russ Dizdar. Russ isn't going to be able to be with us today. He's Russ is not your standard, typical Christian pastor. And he emailed me this morning and said, listen, Coach, I've been 4 consecutive days nonstop dealing with a spiritual issue involving witches coven and rescuing a girl out of it. And, I need some rest, some sleep this morning. So Russ isn't going to be with us. He was on Hagman and Hagman last night, did a really, really good job. And keep in mind that Russ is going to be with us May 19th and 20th down here in the Columbus area, still working on the details on that. But so you tuned in and you're going to get me. You're going to get me as the version of Russ Dizdar this morning. I hope that somehow I can live up to what Russ does. Crazy stuff going on. We were chatting a little bit here before we came on the air. I don't want to spend all the time talking about, listen, folks, I'm in Colossians 1:13. I'm just going to say this real. I don't normally start out with scripture, but I want you to see that they're very, I'm going to talk today, even though it's a little bit of a rewind. Even though I covered this, months ago, I think it's time for us to go back to it, because there's a lot of people who are tuning in every day who are not at the level of understanding that some of us are. And as I was just having a discussion with Pastor Wayne before I went on the air, listen, I lay stuff on the table to allow the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth. I want you to understand, just because I say it doesn't make it true. But one of the things that I'm trying to do is I'm trying to tear down walls, strongholds, beliefs, traditions that we have believed that just are not biblically supported. That's all I'm trying to do. And the last thing that I want you to do is to believe something because I'm the guy that said it. And I try to produce evidence, supporting evidence, and then let the Holy Spirit guide you into all truth. I got some pushback yesterday because of in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth became void and without form and darkness upon the face of the deep, and into that gap theory type thing we're talking about. And as Pastor Wayne said this morning, the reason the gap theory exists is because people just don't know. We don't know. We don't know. We can't explain it. And so, again, I'm not going to be one of those guys who says, well, God said it. I believe it. That settles it, because I have a little bit more of a inquisitive mind of what's going on. But I think we better understand this. That there's no doubt that there are at least two kingdoms. There are at least two kingdoms. In fact, is in those Ten Commandments, somewhere in those Ten Commandments, it says, I'm the Lord thy God, I shall have no other gods before me. Now, hey, that tells me there must be other gods. Now, whether there are other gods, like in relationship to Jupiter or Zeus, whether that's what he's talking about. I think he's talking about spiritual forces, imitators of God. He said, don't let any of those other, I'll have none of those other imitators get between me and you. This isn't the way it's going to work. And we as human beings, we have good ways of creating other gods, false gods, gods basically being the things that we worship, although we don't realize that we worship those things. That's why Jesus said that it would be easier for a rich man, for a rich camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to make it into the kingdom. Why would it be hard for a rich man to make it into the kingdom? Because getting into the kingdom, as we saw, is it's broad and it's narrow. It's not easy to make it into the kingdom. And it's hard to make it into the kingdom if you have other things that possess your heart. Bible teaches us that where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Or where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So it's not so much about what you have, it's about what has you. What is it that has you? And this thing that we're walking through, this thing called Christianity, we're all on a journey. But the battle that's raging before us right now, you can look at it in Donald Trump, you can look at it in politics, you can look at it in the public schools, you can look at it, you look at it everywhere. You can look at it in media and pornography and the news and the music, everything you look at, there is a conflict going on. And it's a clash of two kingdoms. It's a clash of two kingdoms. Now, come on. We go back to Genesis, and I've done this several times, where it says that he would put an enmity. Enmity means an eternal struggle between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, between his seed and her seed. That what's playing out before us is this eternal struggle, this battle, this football game, if you will, between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. That's what our whole existence is really all about. I'm going to try to show you some of that today, explain some of that, discuss that with you today, because I still don't think we get it. So I'm in Colossians, and I just want you to see this. Jared, do you have that point? Yeah, you do. Jared's a good man. Good man. I got some exciting guests coming. I'm not going to tell you who they are. I got some good ones coming up here in the future that I think we're all going to enjoy. Trying to get situated here. Okay, here we are. Let's start in verse 9 of Colossians. It says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Hey, Wayne, that ought to be our prayer, wouldn't it be? The knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. My goodness, would that be something to have? That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. Hey, hang on. Stop right there. Hey, Raj. What can you tell me something that he doesn't have power over? No. He can't get his phone to work. No.
No.
All power has been given unto him both in heaven and earth, right? So if all power has been given unto him both in heaven and earth, how much power is it for the federal government? How much power is there for the individual? There's no power, right? And so through every good work, increasing knowledge of God, strength of Almighty, according to his glorious power, under all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. That's a unique connection, isn't it? Joyfulness with long-suffering. Supposed to be joyful in long-suffering. Giving thanks unto the Father, here we go now, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. For he hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So we have a kingdom of darkness where until you are enlightened, until you receive that born-again experience, you are walking in darkness. But through his power, the power of his resurrection, the power that's available to us today, we have now been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. Awesome, right? So what we see going on around, we talk about pedophile gate, we talk about pizza gate, we talk about what's going on with Trump and the Russians and abortion, and we talk about all of this stuff, and I don't care what issue you pull up. There's a right and a wrong. There's a good side and there's a bad side to it. There's the Lord's side and there's the devil's side to it. Every issue that you could pull up, I don't care what it up. You pull up the issue of sex. There's a good side to it. The marital bed is a good side to sex. But then you pull up the devil side of it, and it's all debauchery and decay, all of it. You pull up diet. You pull up the food. Well, there's a good side to it, and then there's a bad side to it. The good and the evil is constant. Those two kingdoms are always in conflict in everything that we see. And one of the things that's happened to us, and one of the points that I want to try to bear on today, even though it's a bit of a review for some of us, is what's the power that's been given to us here and right now? Why do Christians appear to be so powerless? I'm going to stop right there. That's a good question. I'm going to throw that out on the table and hopefully somebody will lap it up. Why do Christians appear to be so powerless? Yeah, Jared.
Well, they are powerless.
because they don't actually believe. Talk to Russ about it. Ask Russ about it. You have to believe in the power of Jesus Christ living in you to have that power. And we don't actually believe it.
Not only to have it, but to actually apply it, right? It's one thing to have a power cord in my wall, outlet. I have the power. The power is available to me. But all I got to stick a cord. If I don't stick a cord in here, this thing doesn't work. So I got to stick a cord in the power that's available to me. Jesus said, all power has been given unto me, both in heaven and earth. All power. Why is there no power in the church?
Because.
Coach. Go ahead, Sarah.
Okay, Steve.
Good morning, Steve. Coach.
Good morning, Steve.
Boy. I ain't seen you all in a while. I've been too busy.
Good to have you, bud.
Back in the days when we read about what our Lord and Savior did, how he healed, made blind people see. I want to remind you that this still goes on today. It doesn't go on, limbs growing. It doesn't go on a lot in this country. And I'm going to tell you now the reason why is because our vessels are not full.
Or clean.
Our vessels are not full. Period. That's the end of it.
You can't have what you can't give out what you don't have. I agree with that, Steve, for sure. Larry, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, while we can read the Bible and we understand that God has all power, now his name is above all names, and that Greek word for name there means basically his authority. So his authority is above all. But see, we as people, we have gotten this intellectual concept of what power is, mm-hmm. and we have neglected to appropriate, like you said, put the plug in the wall. We've neglected to receive the authority to use that power.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
It kind of goes like to where you started off in verse 6, you know, that to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, you said, wouldn't that be great? Absolutely. That if just a few people walked in that verse right there, there would be changes on the face of this earth right now.
Amen.
But
amen.
So few people understand that's what Jesus wants us to do, and that's what he taught us to do in our prayer life. It's not, we don't even have to obtain the knowledge of his will first. We just have to trust his will. He taught us to pray for his will. And then he says, on earth as it is in heaven. How's his will in heaven? It's automatic.
Amen.
It's automatic. It's not questioned.
And it's supposed to be, it should be automatic here. But see, our faith in American Christianity anyway, our faith is experiential. Not that there's anything wrong with experiential. Because for me, in my Christian walk, I began to believe a lot of things after I experienced it. Does that make sense? But faith is a little bit different. See, we believe we have this knowledge of the all-powerful magnificence of God. We have that power. We have that head knowledge of it, but we don't have the application of it. We don't really believe it. In our believer, we don't really believe it. Because if we really believed that all power had been given unto him both in heaven and earth, he gave us the power to tread over scorpions and all the powers of the enemy. If we really, really believed this, this society, this culture would not look like it looks. That I've learned through Russ Dizdar, who, by the way, I'm sorry I explained Russ couldn't be with us, that the power in the name of Jesus, when I would have the opportunity to be around Russ and watch him take authority and command over the demons, you know why he was able to do that? Because he had that experiential faith that he had done it before and he knew how it worked. It's like when I walk down here in my studio down here is dark till I turn on the light, and I never ever doubt that the light's going to light up. I hit that switch. It's going to turn on. I have experiential faith in that light switch that it's going to work. And most of us, we don't have experiential faith. We have never seen the power of God. And because we've never seen it and the authority and the power of God, it's like the federal government. You know they're there, but you don't really want them bugging you. Now, I think that's kind of what we're dealing with. So, somebody else, come on, man. It's good. This is good because I got someplace I want to go here today. What is it? What's holding? Why have we? Is this something you want to play, Jared? Our deepest fear, Go ahead and play it, bud. I trust you. I don't know what it is. The screen says our deepest fear, for those of you who are listening.
Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, it is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others.
That's good. That's so true, brother. We are so rejected, and we are all so held back because of fear. But I think there's a reason. See, I think there's a reason, and that's really what I want to try to dig into today. Does anybody want to ruminate on what I said? I'm not shifting gears. I got someplace I want to go this morning. Anybody have a comment that they want to add at this point? Give you a chance.
I'm not sure I totally agree with that last little video there, because I don't think that light is in everyone. If you happen to be part of the devil's team, that's just me.
Bingo, Kevin, bingo.
But Genesis 3:15 says there is going to be enmity between seed. And I'm sorry, but my job's not going to be to save the soul of that team member on the opposite side. That free will is up to that person to make the decision whether they want to go to the light.
Daggone you, Sarge. I was on a radio show last night, and I got in a little bit of a – well, I didn't get in a tussle, but I always feel pushback when I try to explain to people that God doesn't love everybody, that not everybody is on the Lord's team. We have been so programmed to believe that God loves everybody, and that our job is that all we're supposed to do is love them. See, that is an ox that has to be gored. So, Kevin, I agree with you, but when I listen to that, see, I'm listening to it from a personal standpoint, from a believer standpoint, and I understand what the guy is saying. But if you can have all the potential in the world, if you don't have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit inside you, none of that stuff's going to come to fruition. It's all going to be a man-made work. Whatever that would be is going to become a man-made work. So I agree about fear. I agree with that aspect of it. And I agree that that we are capable of doing so much more individually. But I think, that's what I want to talk about today.
Yeah, Coach, your aspect of God doesn't love everyone ox has to be gored, or God does love everyone, that ox has to be gored, right, is absolutely vital. I mean, it's part of the gospel message has been so bastardized by the church because of that doctrine. There's not one verse in the Bible that says God loves the world, present tense, not one. I dare anybody to show me one verse where it says God loves the world.
In fact, Larry, he told us to love not the world, nor the things of the world, right?
Absolutely. The opposite, right, of what's in the Bible.
That's right. The opposite of what's in the Bible. And as a result of that, that has become a great hindrance to the advancement of the gospel. It's become a great hindrance because we are doing what the Lord told us not to do. We are casting our pearl before swine. I'm not talking about a gospel presentation trying to bring someone to the light. That's not what I'm talking about. But when we continue to cast
about that, well, that's what it's talking about.
That's what it's talking about.
Don't throw that seed. Don't throw that wonderful word. He said the seed is the word. He says don't throw it where it's going to be snatched away by Satan. You be careful where you sow the precious seed of the word.
I guess the point I was making, Larry, is I'm always willing to extend gospel of grace. I'm always willing to extend that and invite people into the kingdom. I'm always open to do that. But I'm telling you, in my own heart, I am more interested in defending the kingdom. I'm more interested in defending the kingdom than I am just inviting every Tom, Dick, and Harry into the kingdom. Does that sound awful? Because, see, my Christian training makes me want to feel awful. That programming I've had done to me, it makes me want to feel awful that I would say that. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm not, boys and girls, I am not going to invite a pedophile into my house for dinner to have his way with my granddaughter. I ain't going to do that. I don't care how hungry he is. Are you with me? If I invite that pedophile into my house to have a breakfast with my granddaughter, I don't love my granddaughter. I don't love my granddaughter to allow that to happen to her. And to allow the public, for my granddaughter to go to a public school where they promote that filth, I don't love my granddaughter. I love the pedophile more than I love my granddaughter. Are you with me? Am I making sense here? See, this doesn't even, just think about, take this idea of the gospel and just apply it right around you in the way that you live your life and ask yourself as you're living your life, is this really what Jesus would do? Is this really what he would do? If Jesus saw that he said it'd be better for you, they put a millstone around your neck and threw you into the deepest part of the ocean than to mislead one of these little ones that believe in me. And yet, we as Christians think it's righteous to give money to the public schools to do what? Lead the children astray. I'm frustrated here this morning, boys. I'm frustrated here. It's, I got someplace simple. I'm trying to go. Go ahead, Wayne or Larry. Go ahead, Larry.
The basic message of the gospel is pretty simple to get straight and for people to understand. And they say the gospel is God loves everyone. The true gospel is God wants to love everyone again. He did at one time to the point that he gave his own son as a sacrifice. Yeah. But because he is a just God, he loves those who fit the conditions that his word says he loves now. Those who are obedient, those who, you know, those who do his will. Those are the verses that talk about God currently loves. Every one of them has a condition. So the gospel is not God loves everyone. The gospel is God wants to love everyone. He provided a way for everyone to come into his
love.
That's pretty good news. That's a good gospel.
Yeah, he wills that all would come to him, right? He wills that everybody would come to him. While you were saying that, let's go to Galatians 3. Let's go to Galatians 3. I'm trying to lay a ground. I'm trying to go somewhere this morning. Okay, trying to go somewhere. Galatians 3. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only what I learn of you, received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of the faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? I want to stop right there. Foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Or Wayne, it talks in somewheres, it ties, I don't remember where it's off the top of my head, talks about a different gospel. Those who are preaching a different gospel. So boys and girls, there must be a different gospel. And it must be so palatable and so attracting that people are going to start preaching it, they're going to start hearing it, and they're going to start obeying it. Galatians. So, what is it, Wayne?
Galatians 1:6.
How about that? Galatians 1:6. Yes. Hang on, Roger. Let me read this and jump in here. Galatians 1:6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that preach Any other, but where I got lost there, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. There is another gospel. We're believing another gospel. Go ahead, Raj.
Well, the King James says left truth, instead of who has bewitched you. It is said, the wording is in there at left truth. So
okay.
Obviously there's another gospel.
There isn't. It's very clear, right? There's another gospel. There's another gospel. Now, why is there another gospel? Well, I'm going to tell you something. I like to ask this question, and I'm not going to put anybody on the spot. I hate loaded questions. No, I love loaded questions, but I'm not going to do a loaded question today. If you go to the average person, I'm going to do a little test. Go to the average person and ask them, what's the gospel? What's the gospel? Go to the average Christian. What's the gospel? And they're going to, chances are, they're going to give you 1,000 different things. But here's what they're going to give you. They're not going to give you the gospel. They're going to give you characteristics of the gospel. There's a gospel of grace. It's a characteristic of the gospel. There's a gospel of love. It's a characteristic of the gospel. There's a gospel of forgiveness. It's a characteristic of the gospel. There's a gospel of healing. It's a characteristic of the gospel. There's a gospel of, pick it out. There's a gospel of miracles. There's a social gospel. There's a gospel of tongues. There's a gospel of love. There's a gospel of faith. They are all characteristics of the gospel. Gospel meaning what? Good news.
Good news. Coach.
Yes.
What one aspect of the gospel did Jesus Christ himself say would be proclaimed everywhere the gospel? He said, this gospel is preached. What one aspect, what characteristic did Jesus say is common for all gospel messages?
Help me out.
What the lady did with the oil in the alabaster flask. Mm. That's an amazing statement he made there. He says, what this lady has done will be told wherever this gospel is preached. That Greek word for wherever also transcends time as well as distance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's an amazing statement for Jesus to make. Think about it. There's something about what that lady did that is so important. It is a part of every single gospel message according to Jesus. Now, if you hear a gospel message that doesn't mention that lady, that ain't Jesus's gospel message. It may be part of it, but it ain't enough of it to fulfill his statement.
I'm with you, but I'm not totally with you, because I think that gospel, I can give a gospel message tonight and not include it. I could give a gospel message tomorrow and include it.
Yeah, so but if you gave it tonight and did not include it, you would be making Jesus a liar, because he said, wherever this gospel is preached, will be told. Not could be, not can be, will be told.
But it doesn't say whenever. It says wherever. Yes, Roger.
Yeah, but look up that Greek word for wherever, and you will find from the Greek that it transcends time as well as distance.
Dave?
Yes.
Go back. You were on to something on the characteristics of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Take us. You were talking about, you know, social justice, tongues, love, and so forth were characteristics.
Yes.
You were going, though, to what is the gospel?
Thanks, Raj. That's it, brother. That's it. Because, I think it's so important. Turn to Matthew chapter, let's start in chapter 3. I've talked about this before, but we don't really get it. We really don't get it. I'm going to show you something. John the Baptist and Jesus. John the Baptist was the forerunner. Jesus was he was the way. And Matthew chapter 3, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Not the gospel of Jesus, not the gospel of healing, but that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now let's go to chapter 4, verse 17. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Fellas, listen. Jesus came proclaiming a kingdom message. A kingdom message. And in that kingdom message includes all these other things that we have turned the gospel into. I made some notes here this morning as I was getting ready. Did you know, here's a good note for you, Roger. The kingdom of God is mentioned 75 times in the New Testament. The kingdom of God. Did you know that the kingdom of heaven is mentioned 34 times in the gospel? And the kingdom by itself is mentioned 27 times. And what we don't understand is that the whole message of Jesus coming is, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," where? In earth, as it is in heaven. Jesus came bring a kingdom message, not a gospel message. The gospel simply means good news. So the kingdom message is what? Well, let's think about kingdom. Let's just take that word. Hey, Sarge, what is a kingdom?
It's probably something that has borders, culture, and language involved.
Okay. Well, let's just take the word itself. What is a king? Well, king is somebody who rules, right? And dom comes from dominion. Kingdom, dominion. A kingdom is an area where a king rules. He has dominion over that. When Jesus came back, he came back preaching what? The gospel of the kingdom. Meaning what? There's a new sheriff in town.
Is it fair to say kingdoms go to war?
Of course they do. The kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness are in a constant conflict. And so what we're seeing in America is because we have lost the idea of kingdom living, kingdom being kingdom focused. Listen, fellas, there is not any area in the entire world that Jesus is not Lord of. Nothing. Nothing. Yet you look at us here in the good old U.S. of A. What is Jesus Lord of in the good old U.S. of A? Can somebody tell me?
Your bad day.
My bad day? What do you mean?
He's king of, if you're depressed, how to get out of depression.
Yeah.
King of, if your job's not going well, hang in there.
He's king of grace and mercy. Huh? He's king of mercy. He'll bring mercy, right? Yeah.
He's king. He's not, but you get my point.
Yeah. Is he king over pedophilia? Should pedophilia be under his feet? Should the very, remember we read where it says that the very mention of it, the very mention, something shouldn't even be spoken of. And so if Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if he is Lord over all, can anybody tell me an area that he should not be in control of? I see the call. Just a second, Larry. But we have just the opposite effect. See, we have the sacred and the secular. We've divided America into the sacred and the secular. You talk about this in the church. God's in control of this in the church, yada, yada, yada. And you're going to go into the secular world. And all of a sudden, God, Jesus is no longer in control of these things in the secular world. These things are now under the control of whoever or whatever. He's not King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And see, we've allowed them to say to us, well, that's just your opinion. You think he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I don't agree with you. Well, it doesn't make it wrong. He's King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. And the church has lost this kingdom mentality that everything is under his feet. He put all things, Larry, isn't that what he said? He put all things under his feet. Am I missing it, Wayne? Is that, am I just making this up? Didn't it somewhere he put all things under his feet? I think he did. I think at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, including Barack Obama, including Hillary Clinton, including Jeff Sessions. They're every knee, including every imam and Muslim terrorist in the world. They are under his authority. But see, they are not under his authority because we don't put them under his authority. We have secularized our mindset. One of the things that I respect about the Muslims is they're doing everything they can to make Muhammad king. Everything they can to make sure their king is king. And what are we doing? We say, hey, come on over here. Our king welcomes other kings in. Come on over here. Yeah, come over here and be an American. Our king, he's not jealous at all. He allows everybody to come in. You come on over here and have Sharia law, and you can do clitorectomies, and you can have as many. Come on in over here because we have the Constitution, and it's freedom of religion. And the Do you see the foolishness? Larry, let's go to the caller real quickly here.
Okay, Jen.
Jen, you're up. Turn it up a little bit, Larry.
As a person sharpens one another, so should we sharpen one another. And I know that if I were to invite the average person that has that mentality, where they just kind of, you know, they take the easy road, like, oh, everybody, God loves them too. And here's the thing. They are going to fall prey to all the other things. Like, we're going to be taken advantage of because of that mentality, because they do take that kind of middle road, and they're the ones that end up getting hurt. They're the ones that end up turning away from the church eventually. These are the kind of people that have taken that lightly. They take, well, God loves that person. So
yeah, Jenny, see, that's right, Jenny. See, we've been given a different gospel, see. A different gospel. Roger, somebody help me here. Dylan. We are no longer trained, are you ready, to hate evil. We're supposed to hate evil. We're supposed to hate sin. We're supposed to avoid the very appearance of it. Yet, in this world in which we claim Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, all authority has been given under him. Everywhere we look, he is subservient to some type of sin.
You know what, Coach? You know what else I'm thinking is,
you know.
Go ahead, Dylan. Bless you, Jen.
We have the same mentality with the people in the church. It's, oh well, that's just how they interpret Scripture. That's how they read the Gospels, or that's how they read that passage. And you have, you know, in Corinthians, Paul says, "Hey, I'm coming back to you guys. Do you want me to come back with the rod and punishment, or do you want me to come back with a love and gentle spirit?" And we don't come to anybody in the church with rod and punishment.
Of course we don't. No, we don't. See, because listen, guys. Every kingdom. How do I make this? Let's call the American government a kingdom, because it is. It's a kingdom. Government's king. Every government has an enforcement policy for rules. The only difference is that the kingdom of the United States of America does not acknowledge as Jesus as the ultimate lawgiver. And so they've set up their own kingdom where they make the rules, they make the laws, they determine the enforcement, they have an enforcement body. In fact, we have a lot of them. We got the CIA and the FBI and the NSA and on and on and on. The IRS, all these different enforcement bodies that are operating supposedly under the authority of a king, of a head of the government. We can call it the president if we want to, whatever you want to call it. We don't even know who's king of the government anymore, but they are all in a kingdom structure from on high. Ruling is sent down. And the laws that the king declares, the people enforce. But we say that we are children of the kingdom. But our kingdom is nowhere to be seen. We have no ruling authority. We have a ruler. We have the guy who's the King of the Kings and the Lord of the Lords. We have the guy who sits on top of the mountain, yet we make him subservient to the Supreme Court of the United States, or to the President of the United States, or to your denomination. We are constantly taking the King of the Kingdom of God and making him bow his knee to some set of rules and regulation, man-made rules and regulation that we think fits the times in which we live. And so it all, this stuff going on in America right now, we know, we look at the lying that's going on. Look how when Donald Trump came in, all of a sudden, the enforcement of the rules changed. There was a new sheriff in town, and so all those other rules that were being enforced no longer being enforced. The rules of man are constantly changing and evolving. And we know this, that if those of us who carry the name of Christ, if we simply stood, which is still about 76% of us, if we stood and demanded, if we could ever get on the same page and demand the righteousness of God, that Jesus is the King of the Kings and the Lord of the Lords, therefore abortion can't stand, divorce can't stand. If we began to enforce those things, what would happen? Well, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and his peace, there shall be no end. So who is supposed to be enforcing the kingdom of the God, the King of whom we say we follow? Who's supposed to be doing that? Our elected officials? They told us there was a separation between the church and state. In other words, what they said to us, hey, listen, God doesn't rule here. We rule here. God doesn't rule here. And we're stupid enough here in America. We have churches here in America bringing in non-believers. Not even trying to convert them, just bringing them in, thinking that somehow the two of us are going to be able to walk together unless we agree. I got more on the kingdom, but I'm going to give you a chance to weigh in.
I mean, you can have somebody in your, you know, your biofellowship class and your church sermon come out with some just almost completely heretical teaching, and the best response that most men in the church give them is, well, that's just how they've interpreted the scripture. So that's from their background has led them to that point to understand it that way.
Okay, so Dylan, and understand this is the whole point that I'm trying to make. Churches are focusing on characteristics of the gospel, not the gospel of the kingdom. Mercy, food ministries. Yeah, we're supposed to help the poor. Of course we are. But guys, that isn't the gospel. That's a characteristic of the gospel. Yeah, we're supposed to help the needy. Of course we are. That's not the gospel. That's a characteristic of the gospel. Of course we're supposed to welcome in refugees, but that's not the gospel. That's a characteristic of the gospel, provided they follow the other rules of the kingdom. We can't invite other people. You cannot invite people into the kingdom of God and let them live by their own set of rules. But that's what Paul was talking about when he said, "Foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Why all of a sudden have you turned from this glorious gospel? You've been translated out of this other dark kingdom into this light kingdom. And why do you now want to bring that mess of some of that darkness into this kingdom? What the heck's wrong with you guys?" That's what Paul said. And so that's what we are seeing. We are permitting people to come into the kingdom who have not declared the lordship of Jesus Christ. They do not believe in the total and complete lordship of Jesus Christ. See, in the church, we have millions and millions and millions of people who've accepted Jesus as Savior, but not as Lord. Not as Lord. Because if we really accepted Jesus as Lord, if it was really in our heart, the gospel of the kingdom of God was really in our heart, abortion would be over. Gay marriage would be in the ash bin of history already. It would already be. But this mentality that we see in our churches is building churches on characteristics of the gospel. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Hey, Coach, you mentioned earlier, every knee will bow.
Yep.
Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess.
Right.
Which is absolutely true. But it's also true that we understand and recognize that for so many, the majority of those people who finally bow the knee and confess with the tongue, it's too late. They're sitting in hell begging for somebody to put a drop of water on their lips when they bow and bow the knee and confess.
You got Larry, you got it, man. So can I anybody else let me can I want to throw some more of this other stuff at me? This is I don't know why I woke up with this all over me. I just woke up with it all over me today. And it's like it's like watching football film at halftime. You're not allowed to do that. But to go in at halftime and look at the football film and say, oh my goodness. And look at the mistakes our players are making so that I could correct those mistakes. That's what the Lord must be thinking. He must be looking down thinking, are you kidding me? Where did they get that out of what? Where did they get that? Yeah.
I got a question for Wayne real quick. Wayne, can you hear us?
Wayne? Yeah, he can. Yes, he can.
In a healthy church, tomorrow on this kingdom teaching, what would be one principle that we would see regularly from the pulpit? If the kingdom principle is correct, and I believe Dave's touched on it, what would we see different from the pulpit on Sunday?
I don't know what you'd see different from the pulpit. If the kingdom teaching is correct, I think you'd see a lot of difference in the chairs.
That's good. That's right, Wayne.
Because people would get up and they would go do what they know to do to advance the kingdom. That's why we're here. That's the frustration. The frustration is we come into the building, think we've done all we've done, sitting
that's
in
right.
the chair. And then we're living another life.
That's right. When it comes back to secularized and the sacred, right? We have separated those two. So, Roger.
Well, of church and life. The kingdom yes. and life.
That's right. Good, good, Roger.
Well, I would say that the vast majority of where I worship, not all of it, but is salvation, lead to salvation, lead to salvation, bring the person.
The gospel of salvation, right? It's the gospel of salvation.
But wouldn't the kingdom teaching be teaching go and dominate the culture?
I think so.
The culture.
In fact, Roger, your church has built theirs on a gospel of baptism. They actually call themselves that. Yes, don't they? Yeah. And so the idea of king and dominion and dominionism, the church will eschew that. The church will make fun of, oh, you're a dominionist? No, I'm not a dominionist. I just read the Bible and it said that all power is given unto him both in heaven and earth. Go ye and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And all nations happens to be Washington, D.C., and it happens to be New York, and happens to be Hollywood, and he's supposed to be in control of all of it. He's given us all power to do that, but we have all become, dare I say it, we've become specialized in our gospel. We're really good at the mercy. We're really good at praying in tongues. We're really good in believing for healings. We're really good. We cling to characteristics of the gospel and make that the gospel. Paul said, the full counsel of God. The full counsel of God. All of it. All of the gospel. All of the gospel. And I could take you down through this. I'm not going to spend the time to do it today. Repeated over. I've got it written right down here, guys. James 2, Matthew 9, Luke 9, Luke 10, Acts 3, Revelation 12, Galatians 1, Acts 19, Acts 20, Acts 28, Matthew 24, on and on and on and on, where Jesus, Paul, the teachers say the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus came teaching the gospel of the kingdom. There is no such thing as the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the gospel of Jesus Christ was the gospel of the kingdom. When they say the gospel of Jesus Christ, they're saying the gospel that Jesus taught. What was the gospel that Jesus taught? Well, the gospel of the kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent for it. He said that he see. Yes.
Just my take on the idea of equality undermines the gospel of Jesus Christ or even the kingdom gospel. Because if all ideas are equal, then who am I to judge?
That's right.
Who am I to judge? But that's not
based on what standard, right?
Yeah, it's not the idea of equality or even equality of ideas is not true. One idea is better than another idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's just as, and you know, Roger got me when he said dominate. That's my key word, dominate things. But between men and women, there's a hierarchy. One is in charge, the other, therefore, isn't. The kingdom is right, therefore other things aren't. You know,
right, that's right. And Jared, if we operate on the kingdom of God, then no other kingdom can come in and bring a bunch of crazy rules. Think back in the early colonial days. What did they do with a guy who broke the law? Do you know what they did to him? Why, they put him in stocks. Stuck him in public, and people came by and threw tomatoes at him and peed on him. Who knew what all that they did to him, right? They all did that because why? They wanted to make sure that kind of behavior stopped. And then what happened? Some other gospel came in. And what was that other gospel that came in? The gospel of mercy that came in. Said, oh, well, that's shameful. We should not be having people feel shameful. Well, there we go on a different gospel, see? A different gospel. See, the immediate punishment, physical public punishment, preserved the man's soul. It preserved his soul. And now we're teaching universalism, which is really what American Christianity it is. It's universalism. Everybody come. Jesus loves everybody. Jesus loves you. I hear it all the time when I'm out. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you, brother. That's the problem. They think Jesus loves them. You know why? Because they love them. And they love Jesus because they found somebody that loves them as much as they love them. That's the message that we send. And we don't teach a God. I wrote a few things down here. Can I just share these with you real? Some notes I made here this morning real quick. Think about this. The kingdom is within and it's invisible. You can't see the kingdom. Jesus told Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you can't even see the kingdom. Then he said, unless you've been baptized, you can't enter into the kingdom. God's a spirit. Those who worship him in spirit. Yeah, God's not physical. Adam's sin divided the kingdom. See, he was in the Garden of Eden. The kingdom of God was in play. Adam sinned. He booted him outside, and then that division came. Okay? So he divided. Adam's sin divided the kingdoms into spiritual and physical. They weren't like that. When he created Adam, Adam was to be controlled. His body was to be controlled by his spirit man, by his soul. But Adam disobeyed, and then all of a sudden we end up with a spiritual. The kingdom is ruled by faith, not physical. The kingdom is ruled by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Those who come to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith is the ruling power in this kingdom. It's first proclaimed, and then it shows up. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. John the Baptist said, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's proclaimed. But listen, the kingdom must be fought for. Victory is certain, but you got to fight for it. Why? Because old Slewfoot's over here. He's trying to do everything he can. He wants control of the entire kingdom. He wants to be the guy that's in charge of it. And so we have to fight for this. That's what it's about. The kingdom of light always gets victory over the kingdom of darkness unless we don't get the light out of the salt shaker, unless the light stays inside the church. There's no victory over darkness if the light is kept inside the church. Love is the key to the keys of the kingdom. The kingdom's within us. The kingdom gives us victory over sin, fear, worry, lack, anger. Hey, guys, I would just want you to think about this right now. Think of the sins that you used to do. You didn't even think twice about it until you received Christ, until you were indwelled with the Holy Spirit. And some of the things that I used to do, those things don't even enter into my mind anymore. Why? Because I'm in a new kingdom and I'm applying a new set of rules and a new set of values and a strength that I did not have before. That's what his death, burial, and resurrection gave me, the power over death, hell, and the grave. You have to be born again to enter into the kingdom. You have to repent, for the kingdom is at hand. It's always there. It's available. It's always available. For the kingdom is not in words, but it's in power and demonstration. I could go on and 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 on. And we are not teaching the gospel of the kingdom. We're teaching the gospel of salvation, the gospel of grace, the gospel of mercy, the gospel of healing. We're taking all of the characteristics of this new kingdom, and that's what we're teaching. Rather than Jesus is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, he's ruler over all, that settles it. That's the way it is. Hollywood should not be getting away with what they're getting away with. Other than, see, we're being told, listen, guys, don't miss this. God's kingdom's coming to earth. Huh? You know that's how this whole thing wraps up, right? His kingdom comes to earth. Come on! If we go to heaven, we come back. His kingdom comes here. It comes here. He will fulfill what he said he was going to do. His kingdom is going to come. His will is going to be done on earth. It will be. We have his word that we're supposed to do it. But in the meantime, we're not supposed to be sitting back following these other gospels that we were warned clearly about in the scripture. We're supposed to be fighting for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the rules and regulations and precepts of the kingdom of heaven should be ruling and reigning in our lives here on earth, not just in our lives, but all the world is under the dominion of Jesus Christ. We just don't acknowledge that. And we let the devil run wild and do what he wants to do. Okay, so there you go. Call me a kingdom dominionist. Call me a whatever you want to call me. The schools belong to the government. The government belongs to we the people. That what a bunch of malarkey. This land is your land? No, it isn't. This land's the Lord's land. It ain't my land. Everything we see, we have to be careful. The devil is sly. And he gets us to believe stuff that sounds good, but just isn't true. Couple minutes. Pile on. Hey, he's texting me here. Yeah.
I've got Amos 5. You all right if I read a little bit out of it?
Sure. Amos 5. Man, when's the last time I was in Amos?
It says, seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you, as ye have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. And may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Therefore the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord saith thus, wailing shall be in the streets, and they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas, and they shall call the husbandmen to mourning, and such as are skillful of lamentation to wailing, and in all the vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Here, this is it. And all the vineyards shall be wailing. Why? Mm. Because God will be there. He ain't nice. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light.
Wow.
When you're under judgment.
Amen, brother.
Jared, you're so absolutely dead on there. And Amos was a prophet, and the prophets in the Old Testament days were the immediate punishment or the immediate pointing out of what was wrong in the workings of the established religion, of which was Judaism, Zionism, whatever you want to call it. But Coach was saying earlier, we don't have any enforcement mechanism in the church. But the prophets are still supposed to be in the church today. Amen. Because Ephesians says that those fivefold ministry of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are supposed to be there until the unity of the body is achieved.
Jesus
now,
said,
we can look around and see that the unity ain't been achieved, so prophets are supposed to still be here, and a true prophet is supposed to still be bringing the judgment, be bringing the news, be bringing the information Amen. That you need to be punished because you're on the wrong track.
Jesus said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I'd love to gather you like a hen gathers her chicks, but you have killed my prophets. So, see, that's where it is.
Problem today the is the prophets have morphed into the love ministry too.
They have to. They have, Larry. My prophets prophesy lies, and my people like it that way. That's where we are. That's where we are. And so that's what I've said to you before. In case you wonder this, wow, I'm out of time. Most of you are walking under a prophetic ministry. You just don't know it yet. That the Lord wants to use you to direct and correct. That's what it is. And know this, that all throughout human history, the prophets have been hated and rejected, because they were the ones that continually reminded the church, yeah, you're missing it here. You're missing it here. Come on now, get back in line. You're missing it here. The prophets were the ones who warned of a different gospel. You guys are preaching a different gospel here. And so it's easy for us to, you see, I think it's been clear this morning. We've taken the characteristics of the gospel and we've made it a standalone gospel. And it's the gospel of the kingdom, 57 times in the New Testament, the gospel of the kingdom. God bless you. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you tomorrow.